does taking action and handing your deepest struggles over to Jesus look like? You're listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about handing your deepest struggles over to Jesus for peace. And my name is Craig Faust. This here with me is Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey there.
We are counselors, and this is where the rubber meets the road. In this connect section, we are in the consolidate section where we're bringing together this whole connect section of what is the action that we're now going to take. We've gone through recognizing the problem and really an in-depth look at it. We've gone through looking at the different parts that are contributing to this problem, the struggle that we have, why it may be difficult, how this may affect how mm-hmm. we look and experience God, and really just enriching our understanding of the depth of the problem. Now we're in the place that we've talked about prayer, theme study, and building relationships. These are some of the building blocks for now we actually need to take the moves to hand this over.
That's right.
To Jesus. Yep.
It's where we actually are finally like physically asking you to go do something, as opposed to all of the heart work and the cognitive work that we're asking you to do before. This is where it gets really kind of nitty gritty with, getting your hands in the process.
Right.
Go do something.
Well, and think about this. So if you're listening to this and perhaps you're someone that has enjoyed this at some point in your life, but let's say building a snowman. Right. We just have been having winter blow through here while we're recording this, or even think about maybe even not something like that, just building something in general. Right. So you have a vague idea of it. And the more and more that you allow yourself to explore the depth of that idea, now you have to come up with specifics of how you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, my son and I are building some Legos the other day. And cool. He tells me about awesome. This vision. And so, I start, with him, start kind of getting an idea. Okay, what kind of blocks do we need? How are we going to make this work or different things? These are all the steps leading up to here.
Yeah.
Now we're actually, now that we have an idea of what we're going to build, we see that we have the pieces here and we have an idea of how we want them to come together, how we want them to support one another, how we want it to look. Now let's do.
Yes.
If we move to the doing too quickly, sometimes what that can lead to is an instability. And so now that we have those other steps taken care of, we can refer back to them to help
That's
us
right.
with that motivation yeah. whenever things get tough.
I think there's a lot of us out there who want to move to the doing section a little too quickly. Maybe we're, for all of our achievers out there, we have this mentality, right, that the quicker I'm able to actually go do something, the more efficient I'll be able to make this process, the quicker I'll experience healing, the quicker I'll feel like I can come out of this rut.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not always the best thing to do too quickly, but there
Absolutely.
Does need to be action taken at some point. Right?
Well, it's no different than what the Bible is, right? This Hebrew meditation literature,
mm-hmm.
you look at it, and over time, what you're reading starts to evolve as your understanding
right.
and as God reveals things to you through reading more of Scripture, through praying, through allowing yourself just to be soaked in it, through talking to other people about it. It changes.
Yeah.
So for us, we're
right.
hoping that the concept of your struggle has changed so that when we get to this consolidate here, and again, we're like the rubber meets the road, we're moving now,
yeah.
that we have a better idea of
yeah.
what we need to do.
You know what this reminds me of is the passage when we are encouraged to not just be merely listeners of the word, but also doers of the word.
Absolutely.
That as Christ calls us towards obedience in him, it's not merely to just soak up truth, to acknowledge that, yes, this is a good thing, and that's a good thing. But then to actually do the work of being obedient to him, which requires of us our time, our energy, our actionable steps,
right?
And so Some of these things, we've talked about spiritual disciplines before, like we have to have these if we want to grow closer to the Lord. They don't mean you will grow closer to the Lord, though. And just like there's a lot of people who just want to do, to get healing and get it fast, I also think there's a lot of us out there who find it really challenging to step into this part, to let the rubber finally hit the road. And there's a lot of fear around, well, whenever I finally maybe start taking action, what if it doesn't work?
Absolutely.
What if I fail at it? And that shame that we've been kind of talking about might come back, right? Of, well, I feel like I'm failing at this. I can't do it the right way. Or the way that Matt and Craig that you guys are suggesting could be a good way to approach it. As much as we might encourage a way to go about doing something, I hope that you can hear us now that there's not one singular right way to do something to be obedient to the Lord, as long as you are making that effort to engage with Him, and embodying the essence, the principle of what He's saying to live by.
Yeah. Well, and even think about this. So, like, if you've been a believer for a little bit, you may also have recognized that, hey, Matt and Craig have only gone over prayer, theme study, and building relationships. What about doing different works? What about like showing generosity or gratitude or, you know, these different aspects? And we're not saying that that stuff's not important. We chose things that were more specifically focused on you.
Correct.
So what we're saying here is that if you feel led to do one of those things, allow yourself to do it. Don't be like, oh, it's not in the workbook.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to do it. There are wonderful things that come with that. We had to pick and choose in the workbook what we can expound upon, or else this would have been hundreds of pages. Which I know that
we had to limit it.
Yes. Yeah. So that being said, let's go ahead and read this first question. Out of each of these sections, prayer, theme study, and building relationships, try to notice which one of these is the most challenging for you to engage in. So this would be something that you've either tried before, right, with these three things, or something that you just know through reading from and thinking about that you would recognize will be challenging for you.
Right.
Sit and think about what it is, and that call to action that is challenging, right? So wonder about that. Ponder it a little bit. What is it about that that's so challenging for me? What is the fear of hardship? Write about it below. So I know for me, this is fairly easy. Building relationships is something that I've always enjoyed doing, but building vulnerable relationships where I'm talking about how hard something is, that's a lot more difficult because I'm having to humble myself. And as somebody that is fairly stubborn and arrogant and prideful, just generally, it's very difficult to be open.
Sure.
And it's very difficult to go and admit to people about the failures that I have, the places where I'm coming up short in my life. So I know that that part is the most difficult for me.
Yeah.
And it still is, even after all these years.
Yeah. And maybe it'll continue to be the most difficult part for you whenever it comes to, you know, these spiritual disciplines for the rest of your life, that you have to keep challenging, pressing into that hard part for you.
Well, and if you think about it, it makes sense that it might be difficult. So what you guys have heard me talk about, like as we've gone through some of these sections, is there is a part of me that really fears that I won't be enough. So whenever I'm talking and sharing with another person, there is that opportunity for this other person to confirm my greatest fear about me.
Sure.
The struggle. And that's real.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I have never once had a person confirm that. But, you know, I am just so ready, right? I'm a tense spring ready for that to happen. And it blocks me from taking this step towards people that I really need to. And that's actually been, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but that's actually where I've experienced the most growth in my walk of faith.
Beautiful, man.
I
think, I think for me, it's hard because these are all difficult. None of these are really easy to do. I mean, I could say that, you know, on a surface level, they're easy, but And you get down to the nitty-gritty on each of these, to be faithful in prayer, to be disciplined with study and meditating, and to be intentional with relationships. I mean, that is hard work, all of this. I think as I think back to my struggle, one of the hard things that I feel even currently in my life right now is point two of Connect, where it comes to resources within the Bible and without of the Bible, to discipline yourself, to be in the Word, to be soaking it up,
right.
To be taking in other material that can be parallel to Scripture to help better your understanding. Sometimes that's just really hard for me to set aside that time or even to want that time. I've spent a lot of my life, you know, in undergrad and grad school doing work around theology and right. Bible reading and research and studying. I think part of it is that sometimes it feels like an obligation.
Yeah, it feels like it's hard to get the heart in that
uh-huh.
place where
totally
like this is real
right yeah. now. Yeah, I'm even going through with my small group, my community group at church right now, you know, a plan on the Bible app that we're all doing it together.
Yeah.
And some days I'm a few days behind and I get reminded from some of my friends in the group, which is helpful. And then I go on a spurt a little bit of reading a bunch of chapters at a mm-hmm. time to kind of catch up. Not that I feel like I have to catch up. I'm okay being behind. And I know for myself that spiritual catch up isn't really a thing and doesn't really work. Because right. it's about every day finding a point to connect with the Lord. But just so I can at least be on the same reading schedule as they are, so that when we meet up and chat, that at least we can be chatting about the same things.
Yeah.
But there's a little devotional in the beginning part of that where, you know, it's like a five-minute video, and I almost never do that part. And then there's the scripture reading, and I like that part. I'll do that. And then at the end, there's little comments that you can make about what you just read so that everybody can see your comments. And I almost never do that part also. But I like to read other people's comments. And I think I might work up to doing more of those. I just did the little five-minute Devo this morning. And it was nice.
That's devotional for those of you that don't know all the acronyms of modern day.
Yeah, the Christianese. Western Christians. Sorry, guys. but, you know, for the most part, I feel like I don't really need it or want it right now in my life. What I need most is the scripture. Mm-hmm. That is the most helpful for me. And to know at least that I am also doing it with other people that I love and care about. That kind of scratches that itch for me and helps me still feel close to the Lord. And so when the rest of it feels like superfluous, too much, extra, and it feels like maybe it wouldn't be very helpful for me, mm-hmm. at this point in my life, I choose to maybe not do the things that feel like it's the extra work if I know that it's going to feel a little bit like, I don't know, going the extra mile is going to make me a little cranky or grumpy or feel a little bitter or annoyed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel that way whenever I'm trying to meet with the Lord. And mm-hmm. in my past, whenever I was younger, I think I put this pressure on myself to say, there is the way that I have to do it. If this is the way this Bible plan that I'm doing is telling me what I have to do, mm-hmm. I got to do all of it. And now I'm whenever I have so many other responsibilities in my life to get to, and I know how I connect with the Lord, it's easier for me to say, no, I can let that part go, and I can let this part go. I really like this part. Focus this is what's helpful
reading
for me.
The Bible.
That's what I'm going to focus on, especially whenever it's the area where I struggle the most. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that as you guys hear my experience with that, that maybe you feel a little bit of freedom to say, I can let go of this part that doesn't feel as mm-hmm. helpful to what Matt and Craig or somebody else is telling me that they do with their discipline time when it comes to prayer, or when it comes to reading scripture or other resources, or when it comes to building relationships. But choose the part that really feels like it is the most helpful in getting you to connect with the Lord.
Absolutely.
As long as you're still having elements where you are praying, mm-hmm. you are taking in scripture, taking in truth and information, and you are connecting with other people. Those are really some of the most vital aspects of this.
Absolutely.
So I hope that that feels like a burden lifted off of you in some ways.
So now we move to the action plan. So this is where we want to get specific with things. This is 101 when trying to develop habits. The more specific you can be, the better. So one of the things you just heard Matt talk about is like there are times where we recognize over time that some specifics can be honed down, it can be sharpened a little more. We are picking times right now to help build habits. This doesn't mean that you can't change it later, but it's good for you to have a certain level of dedication or commitment to some of these things while we're really trying them on and while we're really pushing ourselves to do something about this struggle. So list the times of the day that you know you'll pray about the struggle. Pick at least 2 times per day that you're speaking specifically to God about the struggle. So I would recommend that the 2 times a day that you're actually speaking specifically about this struggle, think about the times where the struggle may be the most alive in you, right? So we do want to try to be specific
right.
as we can if you're able to do that, right? So whenever I wake up in the morning, I can pray about that. Whenever I get here in the office, those are usually the 2 times that I am specifically praying about the struggle that I have. I'll also, I think I told you guys before, so like over time my plan has changed. So like I'll try to, you know, I'll try to do the Lord's Prayer on the way to the bus stop with my son. You know, I pray every night with my wife whenever we go to bed. I am not usually talking about specific struggles during that prayer. So like, so each of those prayers that we have, I find that I get the opportunity to focus on specific things. And that's something that helps for me rather than having a huge long block of prayer time.
Right.
Right. But for some people, having that long block is good because it helps get them into that heart mode that they really need to be in to be engaged with that relationship with God.
For me, I will often do... and in the car prayers on my way to work and from work
To
kind of prepare me for this thing that I am headed into. So to transition me well into work and then to transition me well to come back home with my family to engage with the chaos of little kids. And then in the evening when I'll pray with my kids or my family as we all go to sleep. I love that time. And just kind of the routine that we have around. We end the night with prayer, you know. I would like to improve my discipline and get better at praying right when I wake up. Usually I'm waking up to a toddler right in my face because I'm not as disciplined at this moment to wake up before my kids. And
you're just not in the life right now where that is something, you know, that could be a block, right? Where if I plan this, it doesn't work. Okay, adjust that time.
You're right, right. So right now I struggle to pray first thing whenever I pop out of bed. Or maybe I'm praying a short prayer like, Jesus help, as I'm having screaming kids running around demanding food, you know. Sometimes even in the counseling room, this is what I'll also do. I'll say a prayer in my head like, Jesus help. And I like the way that John Piper in one of his books kind of described that version of prayer, like walkie-talkie prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, on a walkie-talkie, at any moment you can press that button and communicate with somebody on the other side. Mm-hmm. And to think of prayer also like that, it's a helpful way to think that any time throughout my day I get to talk with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a large, extravagant prayer with fancy words and smooth transitions. Really, none of your prayers have to look like that. But there is helpful to have some reverence to your prayer. It's also helpful to know that I have access any time for my emergency prayers, and that anytime I have this relationship available to me. And so some of those prayers are very short and sweet. God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Please be with me.
So number 2 of the action plan, below list the resources of or from Bible passages and outside the Bible resources you want to look into. So this can be specific Bible verses, or it can be stories that you want to look into. The outside the Bible resources can correspond I would suggest that they have something specifically to do with your struggle.
Right.
So like that being said, what the challenge that I have is I'm trying to put my heart in a place where I'm not contending with not being enough. So for me, I can look at outside the Bible resources and not about not being enough. Mm-hmm. Or what I recognized over time is that the not being enough had to do with me not understanding who God is and the significance of right. Jesus dying. I thought that I dying and rising again, I had thought that I understood. So what I had done, you know, because I had gone through this workbook, so I was like, okay, mm-hmm. me understanding that led to whenever I'm doing the theme study, I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading these different passages, and I'm listening to different podcasts about how to understand Scripture, how mm-hmm. to be curious about things, how mm-hmm. to like lean into these different things. A big one that's been important for me, I've mentioned on here before, is like the Bible Project podcast, mm-hmm. Just having more exposure to Scripture every day.
Right.
You know, I listen to, I'm not Catholic, but I listen to the Bible A Day podcast by Father Mike Schmitz, where he'll go through and he'll just read the Bible. I have an audio yeah. Bible. And these so like I have these different things that I will pivot to. But for this specific part, we're talking about focusing super laser focused on mm-hmm. that struggle. So what that looks like for me is, okay, I'm not enough. I need to remember looking at different stories. Probably the one that I find myself looking at probably the most is the Exodus with Moses. Mm-hmm. There's something about Moses that really resonates with me. And right. That whenever I can go and read that, it helps kind of start to reveal to me, especially knowing what I know about now, how to read the Bible because of my mm-hmm. outside the Bible resources, then I could look at those things and I can recognize that, like, okay, Moses was making this about him, not about God.
Right.
And Moses was making this about him, not about God. Moses was making this about him, not about God. And I get to see the transformation of Moses over time and be like, okay, like even at Moses's, you know, faithfulness, there were still these mess ups that were occurring. So whenever I'm able to read that and go through that, I start to shift in my heart that, okay, it's not about me. It's not about me being enough.
Right.
Right. It's not about me being some magnificent provider. Helpful. It's not. So like yeah. when we're looking at that theme study, we're wanting to pair those the best that we can.
100%. You know, I think that it would be hard to go through all of the specific verses that are out of context that might speak to my particular struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, because there's the surface level struggle, and then there's the deeper struggle. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty of verses, right, that talk about the surface level struggle for me, right? Like the one that I'd even just mentioned, which is in James, about being doers of the word, not merely mm-hmm. hearers of the word. That one strikes me. You know, like that speaks to the very surface level struggle that I have of, yeah, get up and do something. Like engage, be present, yeah. Press into the hard thing. But also I need verses that speak to this deeper struggle within me of not feeling competent enough, feeling like a failure, feeling like like nothing that I put my hand to is successful, right. And that I'm not very actually important or valued, powerful, creative, like any of these things. And so often through Scripture, what is really helpful for me is as I'm naturally just reading the Word to look for where I see aspects of that struggle in the story, mm-hmm. or in the wisdom literature, or in the psalm, or in the gospel, of right. how it can speak to this thing that is a wound in the core of my heart. To not necessarily just go looking for it, but as I'm going through the Bible, to notice where I see it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, notice what Matt's talking about there. So he's listing these different aspects, these different parts of his struggle. So you may list these different verses, which is what we're asking here, and you can categorize them based on different pieces, right? So like if Matt's talking about the sense of failure, that may be different than the piece that's like, it feels like I'm not actually living or operating in a world where Jesus died and rose again. And like now he's sitting right next to the Father. Like I'm not living in that reality. So it's like, okay, then the theme study may like shift to looking at where the sleepers are in the Bible, right? It'd be a good one where like people that are not really fully aware of God, or they are asleep, so they're blind to it. There's something about them where they're not activated and that. So there are these different ways that we can look into it, that we can press into it. And what a wonderful benefit that we have of today.
Yeah.
All right. You guys have heard me talk about that an easy thing for me is to get on ChatGPT and be like, hey, I'm looking for verses about this, or I'm doing a theme study about this, and to populate those different things. Allow yourself to do that. Allow yourself to expose yourself to resources or different scholarly works around this. Yeah, absolutely.
Always outside resource. We talked about this before, but test it against Scripture and make sure that it still falls in line with Scripture. Absolutely. For me right now, I'm reading through a book by Mark Sayers called A Non-Anxious Presence. And it's a great little supplement to read on the side as I'm reading through Scripture. And it's maybe like a chapter a week that I, you know, engage with that. Right. And he's also got a podcast out there called This Cultural Moment, which is really fun to go through, and talks about our current culture and Western civilization and how we got to where we are post-Christian world. And I find it helpful for me as I live in kind of the chaos around me.
Absolutely. One last thing just to remember about this question too. We're making this list for the purpose of being able to reference it and just make it easy for you.
Right.
Right.
So that you can go back to it.
Yeah. Like during this time of prayer, or during this time that you're going to decide for the Bible study, that you're like, okay, I have this list. This is the one I'm going to pick up. Because the more time you spend having to think about it, the worse it's going to be for you.
Yeah.
And we definitely don't want to do that. So we're making this list, but we're going to get more specific with that here a little bit later on.
And the point of consolidate is to check it twice.
Exactly. Okay. So number three, list those people that you will reach out to that have given you permission to speak about your struggle. Write down when you will try to connect with them during the week. Make at least once a week. So like really you want to set this up in some type of way that you can have fairly consistent support. If you can meet in person once a week, that's fantastic. It doesn't always have to be, when you're around somebody, it doesn't always have to be about this specific struggle, but you want to make sure that it is a conversation that ends up happening at least once a week. And this can be, it's a Christian, that is fantastic. If it's during a some type of support group, fantastic. Whatever that may look like for you, dedicate, commit yourself that I am working on this struggle and I'm going to talk to somebody about it. There is a power that happens. Like I worked in substance abuse for quite some time, and going through struggles alone, it doesn't work. It's not how we're programmed. We talked a little bit about that these past couple episodes. So allow yourself the opportunity to walk through that struggle with another believer, right? Just that injection of motivation that ends up happening from these conversations. It's a beautiful thing, and we really need it to be able to go through. So like I know that in my own life, you know, I've had Bible study groups that have been that. Like my Bible study group is partly for that. Me right now, Matt is part of that for me right now.
Right.
This moments that I have with some of my friends where I talk about different struggles that I'm going through. So there are some people that are easier to talk about other struggles with, right? So the only way that we start to understand that is by going through the people, starting to talk, and dedicating that time, having that intentionality going into it.
Yeah,
that this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So and list those people here.
Yeah. And like we've talked about before, different seasons of your life, you're going to find that those people are going to switch up and change around.
Absolutely.
It was different for me 10 years ago than it is now. Mm-hmm. The people that I'm writing down for myself are people that are in my community group. Because the best friends that I had in undergrad, many of them don't live near me anymore.
Right.
They're not in my life every single day. And I think for myself, I need somebody that I'm going to be seeing at least on a weekly basis, face-to-face. Because for me, when I'm face-to-face with somebody, it is far more challenging to be reserved right. about where I'm at. It is a lot easier if I'm on the phone or FaceTime or whatever, virtual, mm-hmm. To be courageous enough to be vulnerable. It's also yeah. harder to just schedule that, to be intentional about doing something that's not face-to-face.
Well, and allow somebody to do life with you, right? So yeah. I think that so often, my wife does this sometimes where she thinks that like times getting together with her gal friends has to be going to get coffee and like there has to be a set aside time in this event and different things like that. Okay, yeah, maybe sometimes that's great. Mm-hmm. But for the weekly thing that we're talking about, it doesn't have to be that, right? It could be like, hey, like, come over for dinner, right? We're already making dinner and you yeah. know, like, you're just over here.
A meal together is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
like
has
checking
to
in
eat.
After church yeah. or, you know, like, let's go on a walk together, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'm going to go to the grocery store. Could you come
yeah.
with me on my daily or my weekly grocery store run? So whatever it may be, invite that other person into your life. And we do this with kids all the time without thinking about it. Our friends yeah. are okay with that. I can't tell you how many times that my friends have actually seemed to be pretty pleasantly happy whenever I've invited them over to help with yard work.
Mm-hmm.
So do not be shy about this. And if you are, this is your area of growth. This is where you push yourself. This
right.
is part of the action plan that we're doing something about. Then we can kind of reassess after a little bit. So
yeah.
I hope that kind of gives you some
that.
Idea of what we're asking for.
One of the things I heard in my old campus ministry, whenever it was very much so intentional about evangelism and discipleship,
mm-hmm.
And I loved all of that. But in the point of discipleship, one of the things that they said is never do anything alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's wiggle room in there, like depending on what stage of life you're in, right? Like some things you're just sometimes you have to. Sometimes you just don't have that relational opportunity. If you have a relational opportunity, though, to bring someone alongside of you as you go grocery shopping, jump on that if you can. Bring somebody
Absolutely.
With you. Or as you run an errand, or as you, like, take the kids to a park, to consistently think about, like, well, who can experience this with me, alongside of me? And, again, in our culture, it's not something that I think is really ever in the back of our mind about thinking of who can I do life with besides
right.
my immediate family. And maybe it's something that we can think of how to value a little bit more.
Right. So let's think a little about what we're asking you to do for this. We're asking you to come up with two times where you're going to spend time with prayer. We didn't specify it, like how often with the, you know, doing the in the Bible and outside the Bible resources. This is something that you want to usually pair with your praying. That's usually going to be the easiest for you. But like, let's say that you like to have that time separate. That's okay. Allow yourself, I'd say, every week at least three times. Every week at least three times. That you are doing some type of reading and study specifically in regards to the struggle.
Right.
So that doesn't like that doesn't get you off the hook for any other type of reading or intimacy with the Lord. This is specifically about the struggle. Remember, we're really focusing and honing in on this part of us that we're handing over to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're just wanting to create that time dedicated. Feel free to do more than this. In fact, we'd encourage you to. The only reason that we're actually being the way that we are is because Matt and I have had our own experiences with this where sometimes mm-hmm. we jump in, the pool's deep. Right. Mm-hmm. And then whenever we jump in deep and we're not so good at turning to the Lord yet, then we stop doing that.
Right.
So that's our own experience. That might not be you. Maybe you can jump in the deep pool and like you'll be able to grab that life preserver that Jesus is and hold on for the rest of your life. If that's you, fantastic. I love you for that. And, you know, I hope that you'd actually be able to teach us how to do that. but for me, I got to work out those muscles that like, oop, I need to pray to Jesus. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, that struggle's going on right now. I need to turn.
Totally.
So this is the introduction to that turning and creating this kind of time and dedication towards this struggle specifically.
Yeah. We've named at the end of the section that we would like for you guys to try to develop these disciplines for at least a month before moving on to the next chapter, which is engage. We ask you to do that because it takes time to develop a rhythm in our lives where we actually feel like, all right, I've taken in the relationships. I've taken in the connection with God. I've taken in this information and how it speaks to my struggle. And so when we have all of that, then I think it's more helpful as we move into this next chapter. If we move into that chapter a little prematurely, perhaps we'll find like, I'm not quite at that place where I can actually answer some of these harder questions.
Absolutely.
Maybe we just need a little bit more time to come back to this chapter. And we've named this before with all of the other chapters. There might be a lot of coming back to a previous chapter and doing that work again, because this path of healing that we're asking you guys to engage in, it's not a straight path upward. It's filled with a lot of setbacks and tribulations and trials of things that make us take a step forward and two steps back sometimes.
Right.
And that is part of the process in any aspect of healing. And so give yourself that grace for knowing, like, if we move forward too fast, it's all right to pause and come back and keep trying.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want you to hear Matt's heart there. We want to do this so that whenever we do need to come back and keep trying and trying, we're doing this for that month or two so that we have an idea by the time we get to engage what it is that we need to work more on, right? We're giving us that exposure. Mm-hmm. And we're giving, that exposure to failure, right? That exposure to, man, I'm supposed to pray two times a day and I've been really falling off the wagon. We're just giving our exposure to that so that way we can start to take a look at that. What's going on there? What's happening? So that exposure is very important, and this gives you time to hopefully feel some type of difference
in
what's going on. And if not, then we get to talk a little bit about what to do there. One other last thing that I do want to mention in just regards to taking action in this consolidate, make sure that while you're going through this that you're asking God for grace, right? We need it every day. And it is hard to do what we're doing here. We are taking deep struggles and working specifically on handing them over to Jesus. It is easier for us as human beings to make blanket statements like, I'll hand my life over to God, than it is, I'm going to hand my money over to God. I'm going to hand my finances. I'm going to hand my lust over to God. I'm going to handle my anger, my desire for violence, or my desire for doing things. The more specific we get, the closer it gets to the heart.
Yeah. I'm going to hand over my rest time to God. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually something that's interesting that you mentioned that. So some of you that are listening to this are very exhausted. I tell you what, I'm there too. Consider that if you're very exhausted, you're very tired, maybe you're at the end of your rope, maybe it's because of the struggle. All of power and authority on earth is in Jesus.
Amen.
So we have an idea medically of how much sleep we need, how much nutrients we need. We have an idea of all these different things that the world tells us. And the thing is, they're not always wrong or anything, but God is greater. So what they say can be true for living in the world, but for us believers, I tell you right now, I've been operating on less sleep this entire week, thanks to my daughter. But because I have this regimen in place, I'm not feeling more tired or anything like that. That doesn't make any sense. unless you're a Christian and you're like, wait a second, I don't get my rest from sleeping. God has made that to help me. It's good to rest, right? My rest comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So in these moments of weakness, of tired, I don't even want to get up and pray, take that to God.
Yeah.
Lean in.
That immediate pain and struggle you're mm-hmm. feeling. Yeah.
Right. So consider, right? Like if you're like, hey, I don't have any time. I'm tired all the time. Don't limit what God can do for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, you know, you can wake up early. You can do these different things. You may not need as much rest. You know, these types of things are difficult to actually communicate right here. There's even a part of me right now, it's like, oh, don't make this recommendation to people because, you know, maybe they're terribly ill or maybe they're going through a struggle. Well, yeah, but I believe and I know that whatever you're going through, God is greater than. Yeah. And if we can lean on He who is greater than the world, then things will change. Things are different. It'll help us hand over our deepest struggles.
Didn't Jesus say that man does not live on bread alone? I think that there's so much more to that that I don't even fully comprehend and understand. My body has a craving for sustenance to survive and live. And yet, he says that man does not live on bread alone, that there's more that I need that he is able to give to me that I can't get from anywhere else except from him. So that even when I'm hungry or physically exhausted, that there's some kind of divine power, divine rest, divine strength, divine comfort, divine peace, divine safety that I can experience in him when I don't necessarily have those things in this physical world.
Right. I think that's important. Some people are going to hear that and take it too far. If you do and you're hearing this and there's a conflict, pray about it. Take it to God, right? God will help you to discern if you ask him for wisdom over what that balance could look like for you.
Yeah.
What it should.
That's right.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode and us just being able to talk about the consolidate of the connect section. We will be moving on to the engage section next. Again, just thank you for spending the time with us. Just know that we love you very much. Take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume, maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.